Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We have one very important thing to let you know. We're going to basically take the top and uncover what's really going on. And most people just look at this because we have been programmed into believing that protesting is about American heritage. If anybody has ever told you before that the progressives have rewritten our history book, what part in our history book do they have any source data or academic data to prove that what America is all about is protesting injustices and so forth? And I will get into the details of that as soon as we get past all these obligatories. We just have a few just to kind of go through. First off, we will be getting into the ratification debate starting tomorrow, and we'll talk about that as well. I want to kind of help set the stage so you kind of understand what we're going to be giving you is the gold nuggets. Now, even though this show may take an hour a day of your time, most of the time we're going to do our very best to just try to read these segments and parts out of these ratification debates so that you hear the words of these great men yourself, so that you don't have to hear me try my best to paraphrase and to emphasize what you need to know. I mean, that's kind of like what the Catholic Church did for years and years and years until there was an uprising that started with Martin Luther, if you remember his grievances that he put on the door of the chapel and so forth. I mean, understanding the source documents and understanding exactly how this Constitution was defined is paramount. And if you don't know what the word paramount means, it is of the utmost importance. So we also have to, you know, do the obligatory, the show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. I'm going to take a quick second just so you understand. Republicreview.org is not a website that is up and available. It will be up and available, and it will really be managed by the states. Each state will have their own page regarding the process as they engage in Republic Review. That way, you can get the need to know information, what's going on in each state, because we want to make that available to you. And we're going to actually tuck this into the Reclaiming the Republic effort as well. But I want you to understand the ownership of this information really are your state legislators. They're your public servants. They're the ones that owe you this information, not GR. You know, I'm the one that's providing. So I've locked the domain down. And if they choose to use their own domain, that's okay. But I've at least created a very defined space for what they need to do. And in essence, I've tried to take care of everything that I can that would be within my powers to help them save our Constitution and help them actually save our liberties. And as you look over your shoulders, you watch this, the distractions on the news and all of this idiotic crap that we're having to put up with, well, then now you put this into context. And now you should understand the whole point of what we're trying to do. But anyway, so this show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. And this is the only show that gives you the academic-based solutions of what we have to do. Don't take my word for it. Go read my article on interposition versus nullification. You tell me what Madison and Jefferson really tried to do. There are a few books. I mean, Thomas Woods wrote a book regarding nullification. And there, the 10th Amendment Center, and there's other organizations out there that say, oh, it's all about nullification. I challenge that. Actually, I refute that. There is no way this is the only way we're going to save America is by nullification. Are you kidding me? Look at how far gone we've gotten. And it's not because of these great organizations that have been around for 50, 70 years or however long they've been around. 60 some years. Well, let me see here. Let me do this right. So if 60, yeah, that'd be 60 plus years for the John Birch Society. Here's an organization that is doing everything they can to stop communism. Well, I don't know where you would give a letter grade, but if you're going by the old standards, not bell curves, but actually merit standards for an A grade or an F, well, for me, I would be hard-pressed to even work it into a D-. I know that they've done, you know, educational programs, and there's lots of good content out there, but good content does not stop communism. And I think that there's all sorts of people that have gotten involved in trying to create an organization to do something. Believe me, I've been pulled into, and I'm still being pulled into different organizations. We want you to be a part of this. And I go, no, I don't want it. It's not an organization that's going to save us. It's going to be action. And the problem with organizations is organizations actually become self-licking ice cream cones. Organizations have to maintain their relevance. They have to be able to pay their bills or they can't function. You know what would the framers have done? What would have John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and Roger Sherman, these men that got involved in the revolution, what would they have done? Would they go out and create an organization? No, they acted. That's what we need. And we need to begin teaching and focusing and educating our local state legislators, their responsibilities. Because if we can't do that, I don't care, you know, how good of a sheriff and how big of a badge and how big your chest is with that big badge. A sheriff will not stop a state from surrendering your constitutional liberties and allowing the federal government to seize every liberty that you can't even imagine. And I hope that this last exercise, let's just call this an exercise of lost liberties, they have proven that they can impact your life in such a magnitude that, have you ever heard the saying, I'm going to hit you so hard, your mom's going to feel it. It's that kind of magnitude we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So anyway, let me also let you know that we do have a new listen line. The 605 number was inadequate. It did not have, so we actually outgrew that. We've gone to a larger bandwidth line. So the new dial-in listen line is 641-741-2355. So if you're right now being dependent on downloading my podcast, and if you have internet challenges where downloading data and that type of stuff becomes a chore, don't. I mean, just set your alarm on your phone and just dial in and just listen. And then you only have to download the ones you may have missed that you know are relevant. I really try not to waste my time on anything that isn't important in giving you the education and giving you the facts necessary to make the decisions so that we can act upon those. Remember, knowledge is power only if you apply it, only when it becomes action, when it takes the form of action. That is the exertion of power. Knowledge just consumed and stored is just that. It is stored energy. It is not energy in motion. The only way that knowledge actually becomes powerful is by acting. And that's why we kind of talk about stop being a part of the problem. Quit watching so much crap on the news. If you become the foremost expert on the ratification debates. You read these ratification debates, what I'm going to at least read to you, and you understand these things, you can start rattling off how all of these things are unconstitutional, and you can help start putting context to, you know, just how bad this is and what we have to do. We have to audit the Constitution and demand full compliance. And we have to start with our state legislators so they can actually obtain enough political force to poke the federal government in the eye and, if necessary, tie them down and cast them back, cast that Leviathan genie back into the bottle, into this little teeny, you know, vessel of a bottle that they belong in. Because if you look at the enumerated powers the federal government has, they do not have the power or authority to do, to spend 85 to 90% of all the money that they're spending on things that they have no business, that they do not have any enumerated authority to do. And that is a full-fledged commitment of fraud. I was challenged yesterday when I was, somebody asked me, hey, you know, you're taking the handcuffs off. And I actually thought it was, I was taking that as a host, you know, took my handcuffs off. I do not want to come across, I do not want you to have a perception that I, you know, am pulling my punches or anything like that. But I do believe there are certain points in time where information needs to be provided, and I don't want to necessarily jeopardize operations and other things that we are doing. So anyway, we will be right back after this promo, and we're going to get into the ratification debates and other things that you need to know right now. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so one of the things I learned a long time ago, that as a species, we kind of fail. Most of us, I think that there are some people, and we kind of look at women as being superior in this characteristic or this trait of expressing one's feelings. And so I kind of acknowledge, and I try not to be one that does not at least acknowledge, and I never do it enough. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow is the day I lost my mother a year ago. And I will just tell you that I had the fortune and opportunity of the last couple of years to be able to, you know, bail out the boat, you know, any left baggage, or, you know, clean up the closets. And it was a real blessing to be able to do that. And I know not all of us have that type of advanced warning when somebody goes. And then when that does happen, there's always those, you know, that weight of either remorse, regret, I wish I would have type of stuff. And what I'm trying to say is I know I don't thank you for tuning in on a regular basis. I may only do it once a month. It's inadequate. I will say that. It should be a standard obligatory. But it's one of those things also is like, if you say you're sorry all the time for every little mistake you make, then all of a sudden your words, I'm sorry, don't mean that much. And I'm not trying to marginalize anything, but what I want to do is I do want to thank you, especially those of you who are helping get this message out. I want to thank you because it is only through messaging and sharing, you know, you challenging other people. If you want to really, you know, quit complaining. Tell those people that are complaining about what's going on. They don't like this insurrection and everything else. You tell them, you know, just shut up. If you're not going to be a part of the solution, then you're just a part of the problem and I don't want to hear it. So just shut up. Well, man, what's the attitude for? And go, look, you know, if you don't listen and if you're not understanding what it takes to reclaim this republic and you understand Republic Review, you don't have to buy into money-wise, but you do have to use a little bit of cognitive power to understand there is no other way. This is the only way we get that giant back into that bottle. And I challenge anybody to refute me because, and this is how solid I am on this conviction that there is no other way, because this is exactly what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison did in 1798. That's why I tell you, it's not about nullification. It is about states interposing their authority over that Constitution and dictating to the federal government what they will do, or they will come and dismantle each of them. And when I say dismantle, we were given a system that actually answers to the design of the Declaration of Independence, or I should say it solves the problem. Thomas Jefferson, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, clearly stated that we the people, after a long train of abuses, can dissolve our government. However, Thomas Jefferson could not fathom the divinity of this U.S. Constitution. He couldn't fathom that we actually have a system of government that allows us to remove every human being that is a part of this government, that is a part of the problem, and replace them. And that is within the powers of the Constitution itself. In other words, it is the supreme law of the land. If you've not read that article, the unknown teeth in the Constitution, actually, you know what? I get to that point where I actually start trying to say, okay, I think this is what it is. I think that's what it is. What is that article called? Yes, the unknown teeth in the Constitution. It's part of the 14th Amendment. Go read that article. They gave us, by the divine hand of providence, they gave us Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to actually purge every crappy public servant who is violating their oath of office and committing moral perjury. Because when you take an oath to support the Constitution and you don't, and you actually support things that are violations of the Constitution, and, oh, well, maybe you didn't know. Oh, well, I didn't know that. I don't know. I'm sorry. What do you think that oath is? That's a legal obligation that you were going to do this. When I joined the Marine Corps, they made me take an oath to serve. And I didn't know what I was taking that oath for, but I did know that I needed to understand what that oath meant. And so I actually went out and learned what that oath meant. And in doing so, it changed my paradigm as a Marine and as a citizen. And I am telling you that if that paradigm shift has not occurred with your politicians and they're not willing to do that, that they think they're above the law, then it's time to, give them that slap so that their mother can feel it. And their father, if you understand what I'm saying. It's time to put people in their place and to hold them accountable. Now, let me kind of just jump forward. And I didn't want to really brush over the fact. I do want to thank you. We do have a listener drive. Please, please, please. Anybody that is like-minded, anybody that is dissatisfied with, the corruption in public service, and they just don't know, they don't understand what to do, that's okay. We have, I don't want to say we have the manna, but we do have the source documents, which I consider manna, that people can actually start reading and start understanding, how this Constitution was defined. It wasn't left open for the judges to actually, open these little portals and doors and windows for them to start driving an agenda into American government and politics. That was not the design of this Constitution. As a matter of fact, had that been disclosed that they would be able to do that, which it wasn't, there was no disclosure that the Supreme Court would be able to change and determine what is constitutional, what isn't, would actually go against how the Constitution was defined. And had it been on the table, every state would have rejected it. There's no way they would have trusted lifetime men in black, lifetime people clothed in black robes, able to make those types of decisions regarding our Constitution. And so anyway, and there's an easy way to fix this, folks. There should never be a ruling coming from a court, a federal court at all, that creates a conflict with the ratification debates. In other words, your lawyers and if the judges have not read the ratification debates and they do not actually support those terms and definitions, then they need to be removed. Why? Because they too have failed to support, because guess what? They're under the same legal oath. The Constitution actually requires that Article 6, Section 3 requires that all judges must take an oath to support the Constitution. And what that means is to support how it was defined to the states at the time. And I think that we can do abortions. I think we can force the states into homosexual marriage. I think we can take away American representation for the states and counties and so forth and pervert our government. All of these things have been very divisive and have subverted our Republican form of government and our fundamental government as we know it. And that's why they've been doing this for years and years. And that's why our whole government is all perverted. Anyway, if I just keep ranting and ranting and ranting, I'm not going to get anywhere. So let me get focused on really what we want to cover. And I kind of have covered the ratification debates already through this rant. But what we're going to do starting tomorrow is we're going to be going through, believe it or not, 35 episodes. I want you to understand this. We're covering 35 episodes that actually covers the ratification debates. The first four episodes will be Massachusetts. We're going to be covering Samuel Adams and John Hancock and all the other good men that discussed. And we're going to give you two gold nuggets. Because when they defined this Constitution, it was defined that the Congress, the sovereigns of the federal government and of the national government, whatever you want to call it, Congress cannot pass a law and make themselves immune to that law. Like force us into Obamacare. Well, first off, they don't have the enumerated power to actually create Obamacare. But if they did, they couldn't pass a law and immune themselves from that law that would be tied to an enumerated power. Like, okay, so everybody, all males get taxed, 17% more for their apportionment to cover our debt. Well, except for Congress, no. They cannot be immune from any laws they pass. And those gold nuggets are in the Massachusetts ratification debates. So you're going to want to tune in. And then when we get into the North Carolina debates, this is where we cover a little bit of slavery, we cover impeachments and so forth. But what I want you to also understand is the North Carolina debates is probably one of the most powerful, at least the Mr. Iredell comparison is one of the most powerful because he compares the Constitution to a power of attorney. And if you understand a power of attorney, there are two types of powers of attorney. There's a general power of attorney and there's a specified power of attorney or an enumerated. And so a general power of attorney, anybody that's listening that wants to give me a general power of attorney for you, I mean, if you want to grant me a general power of attorney so I can do business in your behalf, by all means, you let me know. Just send me the email. I'll sign the documents and I will just execute your estate and my will upon you. And I'll explain that as soon as we come back. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so as we were just going into break, if you do not understand the dangers of general powers, you want to make sure. And so there are people that are getting into that point of life where they depend on somebody. And my mother, as I told you, over a year ago, she actually filed a power of attorney that gave me general powers to be able to do anything and everything. I never exercised that because for the most part, I kept my mother involved and just helped her in doing what she needed to do without ever having to exercise a general power of attorney. It gives somebody a blank check. They can sell your house. They can do anything. And as a matter of fact, I've seen that happen where a corrupt child literally goes out and puts a second mortgage because they have a general power of attorney on their parents' home and leveraged all of their equity and then stuck them with the bill. I can't believe that there's that type of moral turpitude in America. Or a lack of morality and respect regarding, you know, your parents and so forth. But the problem is that's what our education system has given us. That's what happens when you basically make an immoral nation or an amoral nation. Same, same. You cannot attack Christianity as this, as a doctrine of, oh, well, there should be a separation of church and state, and not impose a new church and state. And that new church and state is a secular, godless church and state. I mean, when you start defining what can't be taught as doctrine, you have created doctrine. And fundamentally, the American government has created the Antichrist Church, because everything that they have been doing has been anti-Christian, because Christianity was the accepted and embraced religion of every single colony and every single state as they were forming. But they don't want you to know that. Well, maybe except for Alaska and maybe Hawaii, because the godlessness secular state really didn't get erected till after the progressive, or in the middle of the progressive era from Wilson into FDR, because it was Hugo Black that started asserting there shall be no, there shall be a separation of church and state, that thou shalt not have any God before the non-secular godless state. Anyway, so North Carolina, James Iredell is going to get into this metaphor of, have you ever heard of a person that has a specified power of attorney that grants them the ability to sell land for you in a very particular county, that person would then be able to assume that, oh, because I've got this power of attorney, and even though, yeah, it enumerates me this power, I can assume that I can sell all of your land in these other counties as well. That would defy the whole concept of a specified power of attorney. The Constitution is the exact same thing. It is a specified list of powers. And as they talked about the preambles, what people call the general, welfare and defense clause of Article 8 of Section 8 of Article 1, I'm sorry. There's these little general clauses that at least people try to interpret the general welfare and defense, or general defense and welfare technically, and the necessary and proper, the supremacy clause, and the commerce clause, and so forth. Every single one of these clauses gets shut down. They clearly define that these clauses only grant power within the enumerated powers listed in Section 8 of Article 1. It's that simple, folks. Really. That simple. Now, anything that has been added as to an amendment to the Constitution, then absolutely, but only those things that are enumerated powers. The government can do this, this, and this. So, as we've read already, the federal government tried to assume the Department of Transportation and take control of highways, waterways, and so forth throughout the states. Madison vetoed that bill, telling them that's not an enumerated power. You can't assume that power. Monroe did the same thing in 1822 after Madison in 1817. And then finally, they tried again in 1830 with Andrew Jackson, and Andrew Jackson did the same thing. He says, you must amend the Constitution if you want to exercise that power, because that power does not exist within the Constitution. Well, I'm asking you today, folks. Most people would look at the Department of Transportation and say, yeah, that's a legitimate power. No, it's not. Where's the amendment? We have an enumerated constitution, and that's all they can do. So anyway, Mr. Iredell, I think, provides the best metaphor in comparing the Constitution to a power of attorney or powers of attorney. Then we have New Hampshire. Then we have Maryland, and those things are, we just kind of go through those, because you're going to see that those actually, boom, it that fast and they're done. We do not have the full debates of some of these states, but I'm giving you what I do have, and I promise you and guarantee you that you will not find any conflicts in any of the debates where they say, oh yeah, the federal government is going to replace the states, and they're going to be the big nanny, and they're going to, have all these teats for everybody to suckle from, and no worries, they're going to take good care of us in the next 300 years. Yeah, right. They would have rejected the Constitution just like that. They did not trust or believe in centralized powers. They believed, and as a matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson equated our government system as a distributive system to allow the power of government to go, you know, closest to the people, not to be centralized, to actually get it to the closest to the people, which is why states were organized by counties and why counties actually have a seat of government. There was a reason for that. That was where you were supposed to vote. And a county could not be anything greater than, and in a state, a county couldn't be anything greater than a one day's travel for a person to be able to cast their vote, because then it would have been considered unreasonable for suffrage for somebody to actually participate as a stakeholder or as a citizen of the Republic to be able to exercise their power of voting. Anyway, so we're going to go through New Hampshire. North Carolina is 6.5 days. New Hampshire is about a half a day. Maryland's about a day. Pennsylvania is going to be 3 days. But Virginia is the mother of all. It is 18. So over half of the days we're going to be covering the ratification debates regarding Virginia. That's going to be half, over half of it will be Virginia. And that's just because Virginia actually, I mean, these guys let the fur fly. I mean, they don't hold their punches. Well, they do. They're always the most honorable gentleman is wrong. I mean, they always start off like that. And you have to understand why they had to. If they were absolutely rude and disrespectful like they were, like people are today, like what the heck's going on today, those people would be challenged for a duel. And they may not have dinner that night. Because duel was a standard in defending one's honor and reputation. Anywho, and it started to go by the wayside. And I like to see dueling return, because then I think, you know, everybody would start appreciating having a firearm, so that then you could defend your honor without having to say, okay, my fist is bigger than yours or what have you. Having equal weapons. I mean, if you understand the civility of a duel, there you go. If somebody wants to, you know, weigh those consequences, that'll be the last lesson they learn in, you know, trying to challenge somebody or actually trying to, excuse me, I just sneezed, to try to repudiate or try to actually damage your reputation and so forth. So anyway, let me move on. I think I've driven this horse into the ground somewhat. I want you to understand. Now let's focus on what the heck's going on. This is a full-fledged insurrection. If you understand our Constitution and if you understand our constitutional history, the framers did not just protest and say, we're not going to abide by this or anything like that. They actually petitioned government for the redress of their grievances. They wrote letters to King George and to Parliament demanding their rightful rights as Englishmen, that they had guaranteed rights under the Bill of Rights, and they did not want to leave England. They followed the system. When they created the Constitution, clearly within the Constitution is, within the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, every U.S. citizen has the right to petition government for the redress of their grievances. That is what you do. There is nowhere in the Constitution where you can just protest, break the law, and do whatever. Any professor in any book that says that that is the American heritage has lied. Because we were an enlightened society, we were a civil society, and we operated within the framework of the law, especially first. But these hooligans, these needful idiots, or I should say the useful idiots, as Lenin calls them, they're just revolutionaries. They're doing everything they can to overthrow our government. I mean, they're actually, you know, you'll read in the news that there are places where they're holding people up, literally like highway bandits stopping you and then actually going after your money and demanding reparations. Pay me now or we'll kill you now. This is insurrection, it is lawlessness, and any public servant that is not getting the militia and everybody engaged to stopping this insurrection must have to face treason. We'll be right back after this.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so as I was just trying to get into this, did you know that the Constitution guarantees that the federal government, the U.S. government, will protect us from invasion and from domestic violence, which I refer to as insurrection, and which is what they referred to in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, insurrection. Now, before I read Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, I'm going to read to you what we call the Guarantee Clause. And when you tune in when we get to the Constitution on Constitution Week, September 17th, and we're going to be reminding you that the Constitution is coming up. And, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about the Constitution Day? How are you going to help bring awareness of the Constitution in your community? The United States, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution states that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union, first, a republican form of government, second, and shall protect them against invasion. So that's second part A, and second part two, also on application of the legislature or executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. Hello, Mr. Trump. Why are you not demanding that Congress declare the militia to step forward, because obviously nobody is doing anything about this, because we've been infiltrated by communists at every level of government. The federal government should be actually calling upon the militia to actually step in. And because they're failing to do so, who do we hold accountable? As we watch this country decay, we've clearly got every solution within this Constitution in dealing with these problems. And these constitutionally illiterate folk have no clue to what they're doing, if you understand what I'm saying. So with that, I beg and implore you to send the constitutional tidbits, or these constitutional tidbits, to President Trump in his email box, or, you know, the message. You just go to whitehouse.gov, and if you want to send a message to the president, everybody send him a message. When are you going to call upon the militia to protect us in accordance with Article 4, Section 4, in protecting us against domestic violence? Hello? I'm sorry. Whenever I yell, whenever I do those types of things, it just makes it hard for me to edit the dynamic peaks of this show so that I actually have a really reasonable show for you to listen to. Anyway, just want you to understand that the Constitution holds every solution that we need in dealing with the problems that we have to face at this point in time in this, let's just use the term, dispensation, okay? Now, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15 states that the Congress shall have the power to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. That was the purpose of the federal government's usage for the militia. There's nothing in there for health care, for, you know, for disease control, nothing like that. As a matter of fact, there's nothing enumerated within the Constitution over health care. The CDC, Health and Human Services, Obama, it's all unconstitutional. But the fact remains, my friends, is that we actually have all the protection necessary. And what the heck is going on? Every single one of these politicians that are not doing anything. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the only reason Seattle actually shut down CHOP or whatever that crap was is just due to the fact that they were getting sued, and now they realize that they were going to be held monetarily accountable. And what happens when they all of a sudden have to raise taxes because they were liable for actually protecting these businesses and property instead of going, yay, look at this revolution. We'll soon be able to have a hen in every kitchen or you know, a chicken in every pot like communist Roosevelt, FDR. Anyway, I'm telling you, what we're dealing with is an insurrection. This is a civil war. And you know what? Even if Antifa is accurate that they have 30,000 people in every state, I just want you to understand something. That's an army, and we have an occupying force that is calling war upon our Constitution and declaring war. Those people need to be, you know, when they're arrested, no due process. You know, we actually need to reenact the Tory Acts and basically say anybody that we arrest at this point in time that is calling for a revolt against our Constitution, they need to be held accountable. Like I said, it's this easy, folks. All we have to do is enforce the Constitution. The Constitution does not allow open rebellion. And this uncivil, this is a civil war. There's no civility about it. We are in the throes of an upheaval that is intended to subjugate us. And if you understand the magnitude and the ramifications, I don't know, what do I have to do? Do I have to go to your house and poke you in the eye? What is it going to take for you to understand where we are and what the heck's going on? Okay, so as you understand, what is going on is a violation of the Constitution. These people are guilty of treason. So when they're captured, they should be processed either for treason and hung or hanged and or deported. The Tory Acts will give us the authority of what we need to do. Folks, I don't know what it's going to take to get people to wake up, but we're moving forward. And as I always say at the end of this show, we're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. If you want to help, the most important thing you can do is you need to understand this is what we have to do. Once you understand the solution, then you actually become a powerful part of the solution. No longer, I mean, I get it. There's people out there that may have money that can say, yeah, here, we, you know, I just trust you. But we're not looking for that. What we want is full buy-in so that people understand that we have to assert our authority over our Constitution, point blank. That's what we have to do. So bottom line, either you're going to be a part of the solution or we're going to have to literally flail and fend for ourselves and do whatever it takes, if you understand what I'm saying. So what we're looking to do and what we hope to do is, one, educate you, get you involved, and even more importantly, what we need to do is we need to get you moving in electing those state legislatures, sheriffs, and all of these public servants that understand the sacredness of their oath of office and upholding the Constitution. If we do that, if we can actually and successfully start electing people to understand their job as a public servant is to support the Constitution. It's not to make your life better by making sure you have a job. That's between you and your religion. That's between you and your community. That is not government's role. Government's role is to protect life and property. I mean, when you boil it down, that's exactly how Adam Smith and the framers boiled it down. They're not supposed to be giving you stuff, giving you a job, creating job opportunities. And so we have a great system where the federal government only does these few things and the state government is only supposed to do whatever we want it to do. Bottom line, it can't do anything outside of a Republican form of government, and they are responsible of protecting us from invasions and insurrections or these types of things. So, as you start understanding just what a beautiful thing, what a divine thing this thing is called the Constitution, then you can actually start putting your arms around what the problem is and solving it. So as we move into these ratification debates, this is an opportunity for you to actually open your mind and actually begin to learn these opportunities that we have been given in restoring this Constitution, because really it comes down to contracts and contract law, like I said, the enumerated powers, the general powers, and so forth. And so I didn't necessarily get into the general powers, but I have before, and I will as we move forward. I recognize the fact that I am probably almost completely out of time. We're going to be going into the close of the show. So in our next episode, we will be starting off with the ratification debates. Forgive me. We've had nothing but problems all day today. I've actually lost these files and so forth. So I'm on my bootstraps last minute, right before this show has to air. We're literally finally getting this done. And fortunately, and I'm praying right now that we don't get shut down by China through a denial of service, because China has been doing their shenanigans and shutting down our ports so that when we connect to the server, we can't get there. So with that, I'm GR Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. And we'll be back tomorrow with, as you know, with the ratification debates. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.